Today, we will try to comprehend the incomprehensible. It's the plan of salvation as orchestrated by our triune God. I'm going to open with Exodus 3:5. Do not come any closer, God said. Take off your sandals, for the place where you are standing is holy ground. Sometimes in Scripture, God uses object lessons to teach his truth. Today I'm going to be using this object lesson for me. What I'm going to be speaking to you today about, I don't fully understand. I don't fully comprehend. There are pieces of this that are so far above my thinking that it's just only from God. But I wanted you to understand a little bit more, and that we can praise God a little bit more clearly and fully by acknowledging the Trinity, going deeper into this triune loving God that we serve. The title for my sermon actually comes from a poem from about 120 years ago by Frederick William Faber. And some of the words I didn't like as I read the poem. But then last night, those words were revealed a little bit more clearly to me. And the poem reads, "One God, one majesty, there is no God but thee, unbounded, unextended unity, awful in unity. O God, we worship thee, more simply one, because supremely three, dread, unbeginning one, single yet not alone. Creation hath not set thee on a higher throne. Unfathomable sea, all life is out of thee, and thy life is thy blissful unity. All things that from thee run, all works that thou hast done, thou doest in honor of thy being one. And by thy being one, ever by that alone, couldst thou do and doest what thou hast done. We from thy oneness come, beyond it cannot roam, and in thy oneness find our eternal home. Blessed be thy unity, all joys are one to me, the joy that there can be no other God than thee." And Frederick William Faber lived from 1814 to 1863. Last night, I'm involved in a ministry. Actually, the ministry is International Friends at Rutgers, IFAR. And most of the International Friends at Rutgers are coming from China, as a matter of fact. There was about, at the meeting last night, maybe at least 60 students. All but a few were from China. And they come to these dinners and to learn about Jesus a bit more and just for fellowship. Well, there's a guy who speaks, and he's presenting a message sort of to the students a little bit, and there's games and food and fellowship. But he's giving the message, and he's talking about God the Creator, the good news of the gospel. He's telling all these good things about God. And then he has the question, questions that we at the table are supposed to answer. So there's this young lady there, and I praise God for her because she was very open. What do you think? What do you think of an all-knowing, all-loving God, a God who created and spoke all things into existence? And so I'm reading the question, and then the girl answers, "It would be awful." And boom, all my Christianese kind of fell away a little bit. God's a good guy. But she said, "It would be awful that someone would know me that well. That someone would understand me that much, that someone would know all things and could do all things." No, she didn't like that. And what that showed me is that she understood sin, even though she might not have known the word, but she did understand sin. Praise God for that. And then, okay, so we talked a few of them, went through a few other things. And then, what do you believe? Do you believe that when you die, you're just going to fade away and be nothing, that there's no more, that there's nothing left? And she said, "Yes, that's what I believe." And I said, "You mean that She was a brilliant mathematician, by the way. You mean that though you're a brilliant scholar, you've got all this math, prayerfully you meet the wonderful guy, prayerfully you have a great house and great car and great everything, and it's all meaningless? It's all going to become dust? It's all going to become nothing? That you don't understand eternity? That there's nothing more? She said, no, there's nothing more. Ouch. Many people in our world today live that way. Imagine thinking that there is nothing more. Imagine going through life without a loving God that would forgive us, that does forgive us, who has died for us so that we may live. Imagine these things and then understand that they're all around you, that people do not understand our God. They do not understand the gift of eternal life. They do not understand the sacrifice of who Jesus is. We're going to look at the Trinity. Please, if you have your Bibles, I'm going to look first at Mark 12:30. It's the book of Mark. And I want to establish this a little bit about the Trinity before we go into it. And this is the greatest command, you know, the two greatest commandments. And the two greatest commandments, you've all heard these, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. You know, praise God, those are the two greatest commands. But there's something that precedes that, and I don't think this is always understood. And I'm going to start in verse 28b, I'm going to call it B, down the bottom. They're talking to Jesus here. Of all the commandments, which is the most important? And Jesus answered, the most important one, answered Jesus, is this: hear, O Israel, the Lord your God, the Lord is one. And then he goes on and gives the two greatest commandments. But I think what he was wanting us to understand is that the two greatest commandments cannot be accomplished without an understanding of the most important one. And the most important one, it's the triune power and majesty of God, three in one. Holy Father, who cannot look upon sin. Sacrificial Son, who came to die for the sin of the world, who rose from death and sits at the right hand of the Father. And then the power of the Holy Spirit, the power of the living God in us. This is the plan of redemption. Sinful people like us can be found out by the living God through his gospel. It is in his life, death, and resurrection of Jesus that we see God's righteousness, justice, and provision for our salvation. His plan of salvation is perfectly accomplished by our triune God. And we can sometimes back off the study of the Trinity. Why? Because it is incomprehensible, and that's true. Okay? But it is important for articulating, for talking about our salvation, that we understand the three as one. That we understand that salvation, that this Trinity must be established so that we can understand that Holy God could not look upon sin. Holy God did come to earth through the form of his Son, Holy Jesus, to die for the sin of the world, and the Holy Spirit lives in us. That is the gospel. And how to help people understand that through his written word. We're going to look at the baptism of Jesus, and that's in Matthew 3, 13 through 17. And first I want to establish that you know that there is a Trinity. Okay, it's not in the Bible, there's no Trinity word, but it's definitely in the Bible and throughout the Bible. And there are religions that claim, oh, the Trinity, there is no such thing as the Trinity. I don't know what they do with the verses in the Bible. But I'm going to start at the baptism of Jesus. And this is Jesus coming to John. And I'll start in 15, actually. Jesus replied, let it be so now, It is proper for us to do this to fulfill all righteousness. Then John consented. Jesus came to John to be baptized. And this is the baptism of Jesus in verse 16. As soon as Jesus was baptized, he went up out of the water. At that moment, heaven was opened, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting on him. And a voice from heaven said, "This is my Son, whom I love. With him I am well pleased." This is the Trinity. Here is the physical presence of the Son, the Spirit descending and lighting upon him like a dove, and the voice of God speaking from heaven. This is the presence of the Trinity at the baptism of Jesus. This triune presence was with Jesus throughout his ministry upon earth. That he would rely on God the Father, he would rely on the Spirit within him throughout his ministry on earth. And now we're going to look at the end of Jesus' ministry on earth. If you could turn to John 17, the book of John, chapter 17. And this is Jesus getting ready to leave earth, and he's going to go back to his Father, and will be sitting at the right hand of the Father as he is now, praying for us, involved in our lives. And this is John 17, 1 through 5. After Jesus said this, he looked towards heaven and prayed, "Father, the time has come. Glorify your Son, that your Son may glorify you. For you granted him authority over all people, that he might give eternal life to all those you gave him. Now this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. I have brought you glory on earth by completing the work you gave me to do. And now, Father, glorify me in your presence with the glory I had with you before the world began." The earthly ministry of Jesus was about salvation. It was about eternal life for all those who would put their faith and belief in him. But where does this belief come from? How do people come to faith? Nobody really knows how the Spirit moves. We know that he does move. How do we know that? Because he's moved in our hearts. We believe and we know that Jesus is our Lord and Savior. But how can we proclaim this to others? How can we speak this? I think Jesus, within this chapter 17, is going to give us a lot of clear answers. In 17, verse 8, Jesus says, "For I gave them the words you gave me, and they accepted them. They know with certainty that I came from you, and they believe that you sent me." Where does faith come from? Where does faith begin? It's here. It's here. In the living Word of God. We have these words. It's the truth, and it's found in the Bible. This is God's truth. Oh, it's hard to explain to people that haven't heard. Yeah, there is truth. You can know truth, and it's found in God's Word. You know, I've read many books, and people say, but this isn't a book. This is the living Word of God. This is written form, but it's the living Word of God. Then in verse 11, Jesus goes on and says, "I will remain in the world no longer, but they are still in the world, and I am coming to you. Holy Father, protect them by the power of your name, the name you gave me, so that they may be one as we are one. In verse 11, Jesus, his name, Hebrew, Yeshua. Yeshua, his name means the Lord saves. His very name means what he does. The Lord saves. It is the Lord who will give eternal life. There's a very last semester, I taught anthropology at a school, and I at Somerset Christian College, which is now underwater, but that's another story. It'll come back in January. I taught anthropology, but I didn't teach anthropology. Anthropology is the study of man. I said, oh, I'll teach it, but I'll teach it if I can call it reverse anthropology. If we can learn God first, then we can begin to learn about man. And if we could grasp that, the love that God has for us, the truth of who God is, then we can begin to look at man. There was a very, you know, famous Chinese philosopher, Confucius, Master Kong. Master Kong, brilliant. Some of his stuff is really, really a pleasure to read. You know, you say, wow. But he had something wrong. And what he had wrong was this. It was a phenomenon. It was a great philosophy. It was just a little bit off. And he said, not knowing man, how can we ever know God? He's right. Okay, we don't know man fully. I've lived with my wife for 25 years. You think I know her fully? No. So we will not know man fully. But in order to begin, to even begin to really know man, we must know God. We must know that we were created by God. We must know that there's a living God who came to this earth in the form of a man. We must know that this living God lived a sinless life here on this earth and died for the sin of this world. And we must also know that this God, Jesus, rose from the dead. He conquered sin and death. So Confucius was right. No, you'll never know man, and you'll never know fully God either. But we must start with God. It's the starting point. We must start with God, because God is always first. Man is his creation. We are his creation. In verse 17, Jesus goes on, and he'll say, sanctify them by the truth. Your word is truth. Sanctify. Sanctify means to be set apart. You, as God's children, are set apart. You are sanctified by God, set apart. And what that means, not that you're without sin, I know most of you, okay? Not that, you know, you don't have sin, but what it means, you know who you belong to. You know who you belong to. You are a daughter of the King. You are a child of God. You have hope. You have a future, because there is a living God. Without that, we truly are nothing. It's dust in the wind. I mean, it's like, you know, I'm getting old. Older and older as we speak. And my birthday, I'm 62 years old. Holy moly. You know? Bang. Oh, you sit there laughing, young man. No. You too will get old too one day. And he'll say, hey man, I think I remember back in that church some old guy was talking about being old. Now it's me. It is a whisper. It is a whisper. It goes by like that. But it's knowing that we are now an eternal people. We're not going to leave. We're not going to die. We don't want to die. I mean, there's many more things, Lord willing, that the Lord has for me here. But when we do go home, we go home. We go back home to our Lord and to our Savior. That little girl, you know, said to me, no, after I die, I'm dead. After I die, I'm dust. After I said, and then as we talked further, you know what she said, which was very telling also. She said, you know, I never thought about this stuff. You see, many of the people who have never really heard very much of Jesus, I mean, coming from China, she's heard something now, but not so much. But they've never thought of, oh, there are people out there who've thought about it and rejected it. Praise God, they've come to a conclusion. At least they know where they stand. But the people that have never thought about it are the ones that break my heart. Do you know that you don't have to die? Oh, you'll physically die, that's true. We all will. But you can live forever. There is an eternity. There is a living God. She never really thought about it. I mean, I know what she was thinking about. She was thinking about being a good student, and she was, and is. She was thinking about these very complicated math problems that I couldn't even begin to solve. She could and does. But she never thought about eternity. She never thought about what her life would be after death. And if she thought about it, she came up with the conclusion that it was nothing. She's wrong. She's smart. She's kind. She's nice. She's sweet. But she's wrong. How could we help point these creations of God to their Savior? I think through His Word, through His living Word. Jesus goes on in verse 24, and it says, Father, I want those you have given me to be with me where I am, and to see my glory, the glory you have given me because you loved me before the creation of the world. Wow. Wow. One day we will stand before God and see God, our triune God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, and we will see Him in His full glory. We will stand before Him. And I think fall to our knees and a thousand other things. But we will see His glory. You can't comprehend that. I can't comprehend that. You know, I mean, we could sing some nice songs and we can, you know, poetry, poets, and songwriters, and hymn writers, I think came closer than most, you know. But we will see God's glory. We will stand before our Creator and see Him. And He will say, well done, good and faithful servant. Come into my kingdom. Come into my eternal life. Whew, that's amazing. You know, that's just, you know, an absolute amazement, you know, of this. Christ our Lord, we will see Him. We will see the glory of the Lord to behold His beauty. But we serve a triune God. We serve a triune God. You see, God is holy. God is holy. We cannot come before a holy God clinging to our sin. Christ's power, His salvation comes when we repent, acknowledge our powerlessness, and trust and follow Jesus. It's hard for very brilliant people. It's hard for very rich people. It's hard for very simple people. It's hard for all people because we're all sinful. But it is very hard for people to come and acknowledge that there is a God who loves you so much that He gave His life. But I'm not worthy. It goes without saying. He thought you were. But, yeah, it's true. All these things you've heard in Sunday school, in your church services, through your parents over these years, I'm telling you, they're true. And He is the living God. The Jewish people thought that they were still God's people because of birth. I am a Jew. I'm born, you know. But it's not about being a Jew. It's not about coming to church, though we want you here. It's a good thing to do, fellowship of the body. It's about obedience, placing God first, turning away from sin and self and to Him. It's about our living God dwelling in us through the power of His Holy Spirit. You have it up on the wall. Christ lives in you. When you've received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, His Spirit, His Holy Spirit, lives in us. Try explaining that to someone. Impossible! Okay. But it's true. But it's true. And how do you know it's true? Because God's Spirit reveals it to you. We don't know how the Spirit moves, but He does. And I'll conclude with Acts 1:8. This now is the continuation of Jesus' ministry. And it's Jesus has been taken up to heaven at this point. He's just about to be taken up to heaven, I'm sorry. And He's going to say these words about the disciples and what they would need to do. And that's us included within that. And Jesus tells them in Acts 1:8, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." It's the power of the Holy Spirit in us that will enable us to proclaim God's word. It's the opportunity we have to share His good news. You don't have to die. You don't have to be afraid of death. Not that you're going to want death. God put the love of life in us. But there is eternity. It's not easy for sinful, self-willed people to come to a holy God. But praise God. He provided the way through His Son, through Himself, by His power, by His Spirit, by Himself. Hear, O people of God, the Lord your God is one, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.